Welcome to the SDA Housing Podcast, brought to you by NDIS Property Australia. Before starting this episode, we need to provide a general disclaimer. Information contained in this podcast is general in nature only. It does not take into account the objectives, financial situation, or needs of any particular person. You need to consider your financial situation and needs before making any decisions based on the information in this podcast. And you should consider seeking independent and professional advice for your personal circumstances. All right, let's begin.
Good afternoon, everyone. Maddie here for the SDA Housing Podcast, which is a show that explains, highlights, guides, and brings awareness about all things specialist disability accommodation in the ever-changing NDIS world. This show is brought to you by NDIS Property Australia. Today, I am back again with another Team DSC article called The Digital Future of the NDIS. I'm going to delve into a few topics that were covered in this article and, you know, express some of my concerns or my thoughts on a few of these topics. So we're just going to start and we're going to delve into it. The article starts by saying, after talking about it for almost a decade, the NDIS are starting to make attempts at becoming a more technologically modern government agency. This potential change aims to consolidate digital access for citizens facing services into centralized, secure, scalable, and reliable digital portals. It aims to provide easier access to digital government services and enable a consistent, unpredictable digital experience for Australians. Yes. The NDIA should invest in digital infrastructure to enable accessible, timely and reliable information and streamlined processes. Recommendations made for this are to develop an easy-to-use online platform that provides information on all locally available services and supports. My opinion of this is that it can already be very difficult from time to time to navigate through a provider directory. From a business perspective, yes, this could prove to be useful for marketing approaches. However, for someone with a disability, it could prove to be more confusing and add, you know, that extra level of confusion around navigating through a system like this. Using technology to make things like the registration process simpler and easier is a positive change, I feel. These changes are primarily aimed at making the scheme easier to navigate for participants and improving quality of supports. Another topic I'd like to cover from this article is electronic payments. There's talk of a possible move to fully electronic payments to create simpler processes for all providers, registered or not, to make claims. Concerns around this. These electronic payments, Team DSC does have a point. This would mean the end of reimbursements. Participants will no longer need to pay for something out of their own pocket and then wait to be reimbursed. My thoughts on this is often as a support coordinator, you would hear talk from participants around maybe they've reached the end of their NDIS plan, they're waiting for their new plan to be able to purchase continence aids. However, they can't wait. They need the continence aids now. Therefore, they would need to pay for these continence aids out of their own pocket and then wait to be reimbursed from a plan manager. Sometimes it could take a bit of time to receive this reimbursement. Therefore, they would be waiting for the return of this money for a little bit. So ending reimbursements could prove to be a relief for a lot of people, and rightly so. People choose plan management because it does allow more choice and control and is administratively easier. Not only that, but you have more access to providers and companies that you want to engage with if you have a plan manager. As a lot of people already know, having an NDIS plan that's NDIA managed, you can only deal with providers that have an NDIS registration. However, if you're connected with a plan manager, that opens up a whole another range of providers that you can contact and that you can connect with. Plan managers do still have such an important role to play in supporting prevention, detection, and response to non-compliance, sharp practice, and fraud, and supporting participants to execute choice and control. So with electronic payments being sort of made a permanent full-time change, plan managers, what is that? My concern is, what does this mean for plan managers? Because, you know, going back to that point I just made, plan managers, they do play a massive role in the detection of non-compliance and fraud. So opening up electronic payments more, is this going to add into possibly, you know, dealing with more fraud and non-compliance? Who knows? I mean, that is a concern. That is a bit of a worry. But I guess we will see how this change goes when it does come into play eventually. Now, just remember, no action has been taken on these recommendations, nor has a timeline or roadmap been created for implementing it. The review is clear that any transition out of plan managers will need to take time, and that, again, plan managers still have such an important role to play. In saying all this, I'm going to end this here today, everyone. Thank you for listening in. I will add a link to Team DSC's article below. Yeah, thanks for tuning in. I will chat to you guys later. Thanks. Bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. Please make sure you are subscribed and following us so you can keep in the loop with all of our upcoming episodes. We would really appreciate it if you could leave us a 5-star rating, a written review, and to share this podcast with those that could benefit. Until next time, catch you on the next episode.